The following programming is EI, educational and informative.
No, it's not.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird. If you like that sort of thing.
Come Monday, it'll be alright.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
How you doing? Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. It's true. So great to be with you. I can't imagine any place I'd rather be right now besides Aruba. Well, make yourself comfortable. Take your shoes off. Take your pants off. Maybe just the shoes. Let's make believe it's just you and me. That would be horrible for the ratings, but let's make believe that's all it is. And let's have a personal relationship that doesn't involve touching. I'm just going to sit here and groan for half an hour, if you don't mind. We're doing something that is not good. Apparently, we're destroying the planet. And I always walk around and I tap people on the shoulder and say, "Excuse me, why are you destroying the planet? Can you do something that isn't so harmful, like maybe eat ice cream on a hot day and let it melt? That would be all right with me." The supermarket near me sells eggs, which is great. I bought a dozen eggs, and I walked up to the cashier, and she said, "We're not providing bags anymore because we're trying to cut down on plastic bags." I said, "Okay." I said, "Well, what do you have?" She says, "Well, nothing. You just have to carry out the 12 eggs yourself." And I said, "Well, could you at least put them in a carton?" That's my 12 egg joke. What'd you think of it? Horrible, right? Oh, it's really bad. I bought 100 goats because I'm too cheap to get a landscaping company to cut my lawn. But when I saw the invoice for the 100 goats, I thought, "Oh God, this is expensive." sure the goats eat the grass, but it's all willy-nilly. That's actually what I named two of my goats. Every time I see Willie Nelson perform, I always wonder if he's still alive. Why does he look like that all the time? He doesn't look well, and yet he survives. It's amazing. I think when Willie Nelson was like 12 years old, he looked like he was 80 years old. He's like forever not young. Well, welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam, I swear it. And I will entertain you for the next half hour for a fee. This is going to cost you your firstborn. Actually, you know what? I don't want your firstborn. That's like a crying baby. I don't want that. You take care of your firstborn. That's your punishment. Pin that sucker on me. No way. No freaking way. All right. I live in the Boston area. I'm not gloating. I'm just telling you I am. And there's a heat wave going on right now. Yeah, last night at 9 o'clock at night, it was over 90 degrees. And I will tell you without any question, that is too damn hot. I think in hell, the temperature isn't even that high. Seriously, not good. Not happy about that. I have to take shelter inside because I don't want to melt. Remember the Wizard of Oz? I think it was the Wicked Witch of the West or the East. I get the two mixed up. I'm bad at directions. And the Wicked Witch melted into a pool of witch. I guess that's what you would call it. And I remember that. And every time it's really hot outside, I always like get scared that I'm going to melt because I think that everything has a melting point. It's a horrible time of year. It's just people are walking around saying, man, I love the summer. I love boating and swimming and the hot weather. And I wonder, I don't belong here. I don't ski. I hate the winter, but I don't love the summer. Seriously? What do you do when you get too hot? Start peeling your skin off? And when you get a sunburn, your skin does peel off. I'm not kidding. It's true. Met a person yesterday. We were talking, and she said to me, she was training to run the Boston Marathon. And I didn't know what to say to her. What I really wanted to say was, what are you freaking nuts? Are you telling me that on purpose you're going to run 23 miles? Or 20, I think it's 26 miles, actually. You're going to run 26 miles on purpose? The only time I would ever run 26 miles or even 1 mile is if someone was chasing me. Other than that, what's the point? You know, they invented cars and bicycles now, and many, many places you want to get to are on bus routes. Why would you choose to run fast for 26 miles? I didn't say that to her. I just stared at her like she was a freak of nature. What possesses a person to on purpose torture themselves by running 26 miles and no one's chasing you. You don't have to. It's not like your car broke down and you got to get to the nearest service station to get your car towed. Then I would run a little bit. But still, I wouldn't even run. We talked about it a little bit. She's running the Boston Marathon because it would be an achievement. Said, you know, that's really not an achievement. That is satisfying a bizarre pleasure for no reason whatsoever. Do you ever watch somebody who finishes a 26-mile marathon? They collapse at the finish line. Why are you doing this to yourself? Do you think that your body really wants this to happen? And it's not just 26 miles. You're running uphill sometimes. And what happens when you run uphill? You got to run downhill. Hills are very difficult to maneuver. I know when you're running or you're on a bicycle and you go, oh, this is downhill. This is wonderful. I'm just gliding down the hill. Don't you realize that eventually perhaps you may have to go uphill and that's a struggle? That's an analogy for life, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know exactly how to finish the analogy, but it sounds like there's one coming. Yeah, I looked at this lady and I was like, whoa, you're mentally unbalanced. I remember, decades ago, there was some lady who ran the New York Marathon. Isn't it funny that every major city has their own running thing? Running. Why are you running? So it was the New York Marathon. I think her name was Ruiz or something. I don't remember her name. Rosie Ruiz. I could have this wrong. I definitely have it wrong. She ran the New York Marathon and won, and someone found out that a little bit into the marathon, she hopped in a cab and took a cab to about 3 miles to the end of the New York Marathon route, got out of the cab, tipped the driver rather well, and finished the marathon, and she won the marathon. Someone said, excuse me, that lady that you just declared the marathon winner, I saw her in a cab like a couple of minutes ago, and she was disqualified. And I'm thinking, why? She should get like extra points for being creative and trying to pull this out, you know? I thought it was pretty cool. She made a mockery of the marathon. Whoa, I want to marry you. Well, that's not true. That's not true. She wasn't. Yeah, what is it with this marathon crap? Oh, I can walk around saying I won the marathon. Oh, good. You walk around. I can walk around saying that too. I didn't, but I can walk around saying it. Excuse me, Ron, what do you do for a living? Well, I'll tell you what I did do. I ran the marathon and won. You won the Boston and New York marathons? Yes, I won them both in the same year. Whoa, that's amazing. Yeah, I did. Yeah, that's what I did. Of course, I didn't, but I can say I did. I would be a liar, but so what? At least I'd be lying well. I don't want to run a marathon. Are you serious? Someone said to me, hey, I ran the Boston Marathon and I won. I would look at them like, whoa, something wrong with you. Why? What's your point? What's your point? What are you doing to yourself? Ran the marathon. Yeah, I've been training to run the marathon. You're training to run? Yes, I am. What the hell is your hurry? God. It's people who run marathons, sir. You never see somebody like 300 pounds running a marathon. There's good reason for that. They would die on the route. I watch the marathon on TV sometimes because I enjoy seeing people torture themselves. It's a hobby. Not a sexual one. Just a fun mental one. And I've never seen a fat person run the marathon. You just don't. You just don't. I've seen them at Arby's and Denny's and McDonald's, but not in a marathon. I think it would be entertaining to see one, a large overweight person running a marathon. A couple of years ago, people haven't done this since to me, but a couple of years ago, I got a phone call from an old friend. Not that the friend was like age-wise really old, but hadn't seen the friend in a long time, which makes them no longer a friend, by the way. And they said, "Ron, we're doing a run in the park." I said, "Okay, why are you calling in telling me that? So what? Good." Says, "Yes, I'm running for a charity. It's a charity run." I said, "Oh, what do you mean you're running for a charity?" Yeah. What you do is you sponsor me. So what, like a commercial? How you sponsor me? You give me some money, and I run. Well, you sound like you're a thief. I give you money, you say thank you, and you run away from me? Why are you telling me this? You're a thief. You're a no good vagabond. Yes, I'm running for cancer. Oh, sure. I don't know how to respond to that. I'm so sorry. I mean, if I had cancer, I wouldn't go running. No, you're wrong. No. You see, no. I'm collecting money for cancer research. I see. And how are you doing this? I'm going to run. I don't understand. Why? Can you maybe have like a bake sale or something? Why are you running in the park to raise money? It doesn't make any sense. Maybe perhaps a attractive woman nude car wash? I think that would make sense. But I give you money, and you run. I don't. Yes, you sponsor me, and I run in the park. Can't you run in the park without me giving you money? Why? How much does it cost for you to run in the park? I don't understand. I don't understand the concept of what you're saying to me. Now, I don't want to sound insensitive, but it makes no sense. All right, fine. You know what I've never wanted to do? Own a horse. I know some people that, or you know what I would have loved in my childhood? I love horses. I would have loved to own a horse. I love to ride. You love to ride? What, like an Uber? No, I love to get on a large animal and kick it in its sides until it moves. And then when I want the horse to stop, I pull on its head with a couple of ropes. They're called reins, Ron. And I love to sit on the back of an animal and commandeer them. Oh, Lord, why would you do that to an animal? Why would you sit on an animal's back and commandeer them to transport you somewhere? I understand that in the old days, that was the only form of transportation. But then they invented motorized horses and called them cars and didn't have to get on the backs of animals. Do you think animals like you on their backs, kicking them in the side? Do you think they like that, kicking them in the ribs? Seriously? Here, try this. Get on the floor on all fours. That's your hands and your feet. And then get some heavy person who doesn't run a marathon to sit on your back and kick you in the sides and you tell me how much fun you're having. Sure, the person writing you is having a grand old time, but you, being kicked in the sides, being sat on by a fat person, you're not having that much of a good time. That's where pita comes in. Pita bread. I don't understand it. It's not tasty. Something went wrong with the bread. We'll call it pita, and we'll sell it to people in the Middle East. I don't know. I can't figure this out sometimes. I have an interesting guest. That'll be your judgment call, actually. I have an interesting guest coming up in just a second, but first, someone has to pay for this. Obviously, it's not you. So we have to have commercials every once in a while. And we do. And here's one of them.
Give the gift that says, I love you. The gift that says, happy birthday. The gift that says, get well soon. The gift that says, you're the reason I went into the priesthood. The gift that says, congratulations on not getting indicted. The gift that says, I want to cover you in warm chocolate pudding. The gift that says, good luck in clown college. The gift that says, thanks for removing my unsightly wart. The gift that says, sorry about giving you food poisoning. The gift that says, I'll see you in hell. The gift that says, remember the good times we had in prison. The gift that says, I want to make sweet love to you on the white sand beaches of Rio while your hot cousin watches. The gift that says, thank you for the kidney. The gift that says, you deserve all the best, but this will have to do. The gift that says, thanks, Jesus. Whatever you want to say, you can say it beautifully with a timeless gift from Phyllis Gorman's House of Macaroni Art on Route 94 just past the Rotary, across from Sweaty Palmer's Adult Emporium.
Joseph Latino joins us now. He's a bedbug expert and president of Allergy Technologies. Bedbugs, I forgot about them. I haven't been traveling for a year, and I forgot about the bedbugs. And are bedbugs still as prevalent as they have been previously?
Unfortunately, Ron, they are. They're ubiquitous throughout the country. You see less of it in the media, at the forefront of the media, I think, because people just got burnt out.
Yeah.
But it's still a prevalent problem throughout, from coast to coast, from the Pacific Northwest to the Florida Keys. As a matter of fact, you'll see periodically every year the major service providers publish their top 20 or top 50 city lists.
Yeah.
And frankly, they would surprise you, because aside from all the urban centers, you'll see cities that you would not have considered. I mean, unfortunately, where you are in the Boston area, I think one of the lists, you were number 40, so you've come down, which is a good thing to come down the ranks in the bedbug cities. But there, you'd be surprised at some of these small cities. So really, they're an equal opportunity offender, Ron. They attack everyone.
How do our friends in New York fare?
Well, I haven't been in New York for a while, but the problem was so bad at one time in hotels.
Yeah.
I don't know if you recall, in the 2010, 2012, I think one-third of hospitality was being impacted by bedbugs in hotels. That's how bad it was. It's gotten better, but certainly with the miasma of COVID blanketing the hospitality industry, you don't hear it as often because occupancy levels have been so low.
Yeah. Joseph, I was reading about the subject matter from your pages here, and I see that senior housing and senior homes and nursing homes, etc., there's a problem there. We kind of only put it in the category of hotel problem, don't we? But it does go beyond hotels.
Oh, it does. And when I said ubiquitous, I didn't mean just location-wise.
Mm-hmm.
I also meant in terms of anywhere that, frankly, there's a bed or there's upholstered upholstery, because they tend to like upholstered surfaces. Bed bugs are notorious hitchhikers.
Oh.
Although we think about homes and apartments and motels and hotels, they're found in nursing homes and schools and daycare centers, offices, college dorms, hospitals, and public transportation. And certainly the single largest repository is affordable housing. Affordable housing has been struck very hard with bedbugs. and because a lot of the financial constraints,
yeah,
social stigma, bed bugs, the fear of eviction, they don't always get reported on time, so the problem gets much worse.
Okay.
Affordable housing has really been hard hit across the U.S.
What do bed bugs look like? Can we see them? And are they dangerous to our health in any way?
Okay, well, the average adult bed bug is about the size of an apple seed. When they have taken a blood meal, they engorge, and then I would think that they look almost like a raisinette. They get a little bit more swollen. More immature forms, more juvenile forms, are smaller and smaller and become much more difficult to detect. In terms of health concerns, there's no real scientific data that supports that bed bugs convey or transmit disease. However, a lot of the secondary effects of bed bugs can be quite concerning. In particular, 70% of people that actually get bit actually react, develop a welt on their skin, and they're very itchy. It tends to scratch. Now, I'll say the majority of people who scratch, they may break the skin surface. They don't get an infection.
Right.
But certainly people that are immunocompromised.
Sure.
Newborns.
Sure.
Elderly. Those that are on medications, those that have an underlying infection, whose immune systems may not be up to snuff, so to speak, they can develop secondary infections like staph infections and other skin infections, which may require medical care or even hospitalization. There's the other aspect, if I may,
that's
the emotional and psychological impact, which really can be tremendously distressing, huge anxiety, associated with bed bug problems.
Yeah, you know what I'm thinking now? Okay, we call them bed bugs. I'm thinking in people's couches where they eat snacks and food and dinner and stuff, and stuff gets down there. I mean, we never clean there. We never clean under the cushions. Is that like something to be concerned about?
Well, I want to make sure that your listeners clearly understand. Bed bugs are not a result of hygiene or sanitation.
Okay.
You can get a bed bug in a 5-star hotel,
yep,
and you can get it in a 1-star motel side, roadside hotel. They don't usually go for food crumbs, scraps, and things like that, like maybe roaches or rodents do.
Yeah.
They're very, very focused on humans in particular.
Wonderful.
In terms of getting their blood meal from humans.
Nice.
But when you mention all those other areas, like couches, recliners, all of those areas, movie house theater seats, Uber, public transportation,
oh my God,
anywhere where there's an upholstered seat, you have the chance of easily picking up one of these hitchhikers.
Joseph, what do I do about this?
Well, I think, frankly, vigilance is, Ron, probably the best thing that you can do.
Yeah.
I think you have to be prepared to understand, I know your listeners do, that they may actually develop or they may actually inadvertently pick up a bed bug in their travels. And it could be in a hotel or something like that.
And you carry it around with
you. When they come home.
Yeah. Well.
Exactly. When they come home, there's certain basic steps that they can take, like putting all their clothes either immediately into the washer or the dryer at the hottest possible setting for 30 minutes. That will kill all bed bugs and their eggs. Don't bring your suitcases and flop them on your bed. Take your dirty clothes out, put them in the wash, but do the removal of your possessions and your belongings in the garage or in the basement. Don't bring them into the living quarters where you may have a problem.
Right.
And then take those suitcases and wrap them in a plastic bag securely.
Whoa.
Eventually, and then examine them periodically.
Whoa.
Eventually, the bed bugs, if there are any, they will migrate out.
Whoa. It seems to me as a layperson that a flea and tick spray would take care of the problem, but is that the case?
No. There are very, very few products that I could identify with for you that the do-it-yourself or the layperson should actually try to use to remove them. The problem with bed bugs is that if you spray them, they're pretty, they're not very resilient. You could spray them with Windex and probably kill them.
Uh-huh.
The problem is they hide and they're cryptic.
Okay.
So the sprays and the applications of products that are available to the average consumer don't have a long enough action once they've been applied, so that when a bed bug does reemerge or does emerge, that there's still enough activity left to kill them. That's the problem.
Gotcha.
I never advocate that when a person has a problem, unless it's a very unique individual, I always recommend bringing in the pros to take care of it.
Okay. Where do people go for more information? I have a feeling that some people are going to be contacting you.
All right. Well, for general bed bug information, you can certainly go to our website at allergytechnologies.com. You can certainly contact me directly at joseph@allergytechnologies.com. You can call us at our office, and either myself or one of my colleagues will be more than happy to either call you back directly if you were on the line or speak to you at 215-654-9988. I do want to weave in the fact that we do develop a product known as ActiveGuard, which is a preventive product that we can be more than happy to talk to you about, and certainly would be willing to talk to anyone in affordable housing who may be interested in our new ATTACK program, which is a program directed specifically for affordable housing.
Well, good to know. Good conversation. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Well, that'll do it for me today. You have been a wonderful audience member. If I had a prize to give you, I would give it to you, but I don't, so I'm not. But it's the thought that counts. You never have to give anybody a gift anymore, ever. Whether it's their birthday, Mother's Day, Father's Day, Christmas, that holiday, where we give presents to people and like nothing to Jesus. That made no sense, I realize that. But you don't have to give gifts to people anymore, because it's only the thought that counts. That's all. Just think about a gift you want to give to somebody. Don't give it to them. And it's the thought that counts. I know, it's the cheap way out. Whoever came up with that phrase apparently had no money. All right. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. But until that occurs, I wish you peace.